Downloading.
Downloading.
Audio.
Nonstop.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
Chuck Swindoll's our guest this morning on SOS Radio, and he's an author, and he's chancellor of Dallas Theological Seminary, and he's led churches all over the country from Texas to Massachusetts to California over the years. So, Chuck, living on the East Coast in some seasons of your life, and the West Coast, and even in Texas, you've studied culture.
Yeah, well, and I've lived through a bunch of it.
So you've seen the way the pendulum of culture has changed over the decades. You know, what have you noticed most about the American worldview from when you started out as a pastor up against what you see now?
That's a great question, Scott. I have noticed a shift, maybe a better word is a drift, away from the essentials, as we would once have called them, as set forth in the Bible, a respect for ministry, a love for the church, a desire to grow spiritually, and all of that. Now, there are always exceptions, but I've noticed a growing distance, shall we say. I remember way back when I first started in ministry, and a minister moved into a neighborhood. Boy, I tell you, the neighbors would be thrilled to have him. Now you looked on with suspicion. And, you know, part of the reason is they've dealt with toxic religion and people that have been phonies and folks that shouldn't have been doing what they were doing, and they did it often in the name of God. I notice now, rather than just looking past it, people camp on that, and they tend to make the extreme the standard. I think that's unfortunate. But honestly, the heart of an individual has not changed. People are still people. Loneliness is still loneliness. Brokenness is still brokenness. And the pain is, and the heartbreaks of life are still crushing. And I find that people who are willing to listen and learn from eternal truth are often better off than those that try to fight it on their own.
Do you feel like we live in a more dangerous world today, or is it just more like the essence of media has just made us more aware?
No, I think it's more dangerous, but it also has made us aware. You know, I remember when the whole idea of a war going on, you didn't even think about seeing it except maybe in a magazine and pictures that were a week later. But now you see it while it's happening, whether it's a murder or somebody stalking somebody else or somebody being kidnapped. You know about it that very day. So maybe we are more aware of it. But I think, just like Scripture states, difficult times will come and they will get worse and worse as time passes. So I think it is more dangerous now than it used to be.
Our world's constantly changing, or is it? I'm Scott Harold on SOS Radio, and we're talking to Chuck Swindoll today. Chuck's on every night here on SOS, 8:30 Pacific Time, with Insight for Living. And Chuck, in the past, you've written a lot about the life of Abraham. And in his story, it's really interesting because a lot of us feel like culture is so different today than it was back then. But as you dig into Abraham's story, you'll find that people's worldview really hasn't changed a whole lot over the years, has it?
No, absolutely not. A lot of folks don't know this, but Abraham was an idolater. His daddy was an idolater. And I'm sure his granddaddy was an idolater. Ur was the heart and center of idolatry. And in the midst of all of that, God reaches in and pulls out a life named Abram. And he sends him on his way to a destination he didn't spell out for him. And Abraham picked up everything and went and stopped and think. He was 75 years old.
Wow.
That's an amazing decision. And his wife was 65. Most 65, 75-year-old people I know don't want to move away from the house they're living in, to say nothing of the city, along a path that they really don't know the ultimate destination. That's remarkable. So the life of Abraham has many twists and turns that have some similarities and some amazing contributions for our own time.
Yeah, when you think about all that God accomplished through Abraham late in his life, most of the story that we read recorded about Abraham takes place in the latter part of his life.
Oh, yeah, we don't know anything about him even when he was 70. The first time we pick up Abraham, he's 75. Think about that. Most people can name maybe 10 or 12 75-year-old folks they know. Maybe their daddy's 75 or their mom. But this guy, who appears in for chapters in the book of Genesis, chapter 12 all the way through 27, there he is, and he's an old man. Doesn't have a baby till he's 100. Stop and think about it, he had a stroller and a walker. At the same time, his wife's 90, he's 100, and God's still using him. When he's well over 100, God tells him to take his son, Isaac, and sacrifice him on an altar. And he's willing to do that, if that's what God told him to do. All of those principles are worth remembering. And they tell me, among other things, Scott, you're never too old to learn. You're never too old to obey. And I might add, you're never too old to fail.
So obviously, Chuck, looking back on all the accomplishments that God's used you through over the years, pastoring different churches, working with Dallas Theological Seminary, writing books, doing a lot of social justice things over the years. You know, you look at a story of someone like Abraham and you think, like, wow, you know, I've done a lot, but God's not done yet. What's God been teaching you specifically in this season and energizing you with through Abraham's story?
Well, that's a great question. I think I'm learning age doesn't matter. We make age matter. God doesn't look at an age and say, well, I better take it easy on him. He's over 60. Or she's had four kids and she's pushing 50 years of age and she's tired and I got to back away from her. God doesn't do that. If a person is willing and ready, God is far ahead of us, anxious to use us. He's looking for folks who are willing to step in and make up for the stuff that's needed today. And we need to spend less time concerned with our age and more time concerned with what God wants us to be involved in. I would say, too, that I learned from Abraham that because God is not through with us, there's always room for change, surprises, those things that occur that God has providentially put in our path, and we adapt to them. We don't ask God to adapt to us. We adapt to the path God puts us on.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
Tell a friend and connect.
SOSradio.net.
We're talking to Chuck Swindoll today at SOS Radio. My name's Scott. In this world where everything feels like it's changing, you realize that in a lot of ways, the pendulum always seems to swing back. Now, Chuck, Abraham was a perfect example of how we as believers can break through in a world that isn't always acceptable to God's existence.
Abraham stayed flexible. For example, he worked with his nephew Lot, who wasn't the sharpest tool in the chest. And, you know, he gives Lot the chance to choose whatever part of the land he wants. He's great-hearted. He's generous. And even when Lot chooses Sodom, of all places, and marches down there with his wife, and they raise their daughters there, Abraham doesn't yell at him, and he doesn't preach to him. He lets him learn his lessons and takes his knocks. And the beautiful thing about Abraham is that he stayed flexible. He trusted God more than anyone else, and he was willing to go with the direction God led him. And I think folks in Vegas, folks in L.A., folks in Portland, folks in Seattle, folks in Kansas City, all over the country, need to do a lot of thinking about how flexible, how available am I? How willing am I to change? And that's a big part of the Christian life, Scott. We need to stop being so brittle and rigid and stubborn and say, Lord, if you want to use me here, I've not done this before, but if you teach me and show me how to do it, I'll do that. I learned a lot of that from Abraham. You know, it's funny. I studied his life at length when I delivered those messages and wrote the book, and I rarely thought of him as old. I always thought of him as flexible, available, willing, even when he failed. He didn't hang it up. He didn't say, well, that's all there is to it. I'm true. I blew it. He acknowledged that he had done wrong. He accepted God's forgiveness, and he took the next day in stride. We learn a lot from that, Scott.
That challenges me too, you know. It's just like the flexibility, because, yeah, there is risk and there's reward at the same time.
Oh, man, is there ever. I just don't understand people that try to live such a guarded life where they're full of nothing but worry and they don't trust anybody. Now, there are some people you can't trust, but, you know, most of my friends, I trust them to the end. I believe in them, and I rely on them. I got folks that would not do me harm no matter what. Now, do they ever fail or disappoint me? Yeah, and I disappoint them. In other words, perfection is not our goal. Integrity is our goal. We'll never, ever reach sinlessness. But when we do wrong, integrity says, admit you did wrong. Don't blame it on anybody else. Don't act like it was somebody else's fault. Point the finger to yourself and say, I'm responsible. I did that. I'm willing to accept the blows that follow that and the disappointment in the lives of others. But I want you to know, I did that, but this isn't all of my life. Tomorrow will come and God will graciously put me back on my feet, and I'll go on from there.
So many goals in our quest to be a good Christian, and we always fall short, don't we? I'm Scott Harrell on SOS Radio. I know I feel that way. We're talking to Chuck Swindoll from Insight for Living today. And Chuck, a few minutes ago, we were talking about how perfection isn't our goal. Integrity is our real goal. And I think a lot of times in our culture, a lot of Christians fall into this difficult mode of sin management where most of it's led by an overarching sense of fear.
That's a good way to put it. We are too sin conscious. People who are have not read Romans 6 and 7. Paul himself says, the good that I would do, I don't do, and the evil that I would not, I find myself always doing. That's Paul writing that in Romans. And yet he turns right around in Romans 8 and says, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I will not live under the thumb of sin's guilt or sin's shame. I will admit when I've done wrong. I will confess the wrong, but I will not let that rock my boat and sink it. I'm going to go on from here. And I think that's a message we all need.
I think you just summed up God's radical grace quicker than anybody I've ever heard. That's awesome.
Well, that's my favorite doctrine. And people hear that, they think, yeah, well, he's going to take grace to the wrong extreme. Whoever says that doesn't know me. I don't know why it is that when people hear about the grace of God and the liberty we have in Christ, they're always afraid you're going to take advantage of it. You're going to go too far. And some will. I think it was the pastor in England who said, if you preach grace and nobody takes advantage of it, you haven't gone far enough.
Ooh.
And that's a pretty risky statement to make. He wasn't the type of person that would say risky things. But I think that's good. There will always be some who hear about liberty and they live their life going too far with liberty and they go into license. God isn't pleased when we do that. But there will be some who will do that. But that doesn't keep me from embracing grace and encouraging in the life of others.
Awesome. We're talking to Chuck Swindoll on SOS Radio. Well, first off, Chuck, thanks for being on our show today. And thanks for being a part of our SOS Radio community every night at 8:30 Pacific, 9:30 Mountain Time with Insight for Living.
Well, you're welcome, Scott. Thanks for being there. I bet you're a lighthouse for a lot of folks that don't even take time to write and tell you. And I just want to say to all of you, you're really blessed to have somebody who understands the grace of God and is a part of this ministry that reaches out in that great area of Las Vegas and all the places beyond. Thank you for your faithfulness, Scott. Stay at it, man.
Thanks for streaming our podcast. Our SOS Radio team is always experimenting with new things. By financially supporting the music and conversation in our podcast, you're helping it grow.
I use the SOS Radio app when I'm working. I love the fact that there are no ads, there's no pop-ups, and I can listen to Scott Harrell's podcast. I made a $20 gift to help keep the music commercial-free.
You can make a donation to help grow the podcast at sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app.